it's going to be spring soon, and this is on the Carnival of Randomness, our St. Patrick's Day special, which means we probably won't even talk about St. Patrick's Day, but maybe.
We talk shite.
But we have our own leprechaun over here in Greg, as usual.
Hello. So, what was I going to think? Oh, if there's any Irish Italians out there, they're going to mingle to you today.
On that.
I think the Italians will get it.
One of my friends actually gets all upset because he's like, we should have a St. Anthony's Day, but we're setting the controls for the Heart of the Sun today on an episode that should eclipse all others.
No!
There's a big solar event coming up. I don't think anybody's noticed it, maybe if you're under a rock, you have, but we're very thrilled to
have... I'm in the dark about it.
Oh! Already.
They're zinging, they're zinging.
Our guest is like ready to flee already. But our guest is a special... place in cinematic history, too, because she's responsible for a Hitchcockian cameo 20 years ago and being a film. We're very very glad to welcome Beth Bailey. You can explain why you're for the eclipse.
Hi, Beth.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. So I wish you could see these guys because they are bringing the St. Patrick's spirit. It's hard to describe, but there's some beads and there's a little golfish hat going on.
You can see the photo online.
Yeah, that's true, but why wait for the photo?
Well, because like you're not supposed to stare at the clips. If you stare at us two for a while, it's the same effect.
Is it the same? Into the dark.
Blindside.
Into the dark. All right. So I first got sucked into Rochester's version of the eclipse by a woman named Deb Ross, who, if you have kids, you probably know her from KidsOutAndAbout.com. And I'd worked with her for years. And about 3 years ago, she said, hey, I'm putting together this task force, and we really could use somebody with some marketing background. How'd you like to join in? And she's like, for Rochester, we're going to be in this great spot when the next total solar eclipse happens, and we're trying to do a lot to prepare for it. So that's really kind of how I got in, and that was like 3 years ago, but she started work like 6 years ago.
Wow. What's the organization do?
Yeah, so all kinds of things. So there are people on it from, like, the city of Rochester's transportation, education, just all different kinds of people.
Wow.
So they've been meeting regularly to get ready for this once-in-a-lifetime, at least for us, once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, you never know with medical advancements, or time travel.
Time travel, maybe.
Any of that stuff. But I wanted to just for a minute go back and, okay, it's 2024. I didn't think I'd have to say this, but it's 2024. You know how it is out there these days. Don't stare at the thing without protection.
Yes, please. Don't forget your protection.
This thing's called Darwin Awards, and, like, if you've ever seen Day of the Triffids or Night of the Comet. And, you know, I actually don't know the reason for that, because, like, some people go, well, it gets dark. Why can't I look at it? I don't know the science. Any of you?
Remember the old days with the cardboard box and the pinhole? What was the point of that? I mean, does that actually help?
Yeah. So
what's the science? Because I have no idea.
All right. Well, let me go over to Rob here first of all. So, I mean, part of why you want some kind of eye protection that is legit eye protection and not your sunglasses is because until the eclipse is in what they call totality, you'd be staring at the sun, which obviously you don't want to be doing on a daily basis as it is, and you'd injure your eyes. But you can get eclipse glasses. You can get them from the libraries. I mean, there are a ton of places you can either buy
them. Friendly Wegmans and Chi-Light, which I walked by them.
$2 a piece. Come on, big deal. Think about going blind and getting eye surgery. Much more expensive.
Right. Or like I said, check out your local libraries for free.
If you see your way clear.
Yes.
This is getting bad already.
Yeah, I don't know. Here we go.
Hey, man, I'm running out of material. What can I tell you?
All right. So, let's see. I apologize. I kind of forget the other half of your question.
The cardboard box.
Oh, the cardboard box. Yeah. So that I don't know as much about, but that's another way that you can, like, use that to watch what's happening. You can also use a colander. So if you to cook your spaghetti, don't hold it up ahead of you like that. But if you hold it so it's casting a shadow on the ground, you can watch the movement of the sun through the colander. That's another safe way to be able to see what's happening.
For our people out there that are not all that bright, please take the spaghetti out before you attempt that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I actually want to watch it. Yeah, I actually want to watch. I think it'd be more cool, almost like staring at the ground and just watch it go dark a little.
That is kind of cool. I never thought of that.
Right. That's good. Right.
So, I mean, does it have something to do with diffusion or limiting the scope of, you know, of what you're looking at, or blocking it on both sides, or like what? I guess I'm trying to understand what the science is.
So you're still back in the pinhole camera. I don't actually know anything about. For all the stuff I prepped for you guys today,
I did not prep pinhole cameras.
however, the RMSC, so the Rochester Museum and Science Center, they have a lot of information. They're actually putting on a 3-day festival.
Okay.
There's tons of stuff happening around Rochester, and a lot of it is coming out of this partnership that the Eclipse Task Force has.
Okay.
So, like, the RPO is putting on a huge concert.
Oh, I was actually out with Grace Browning yesterday and Ben Krug, and I told her, Grace, I'll plug that concert. Yes, the RPO is putting on a big concert at Blue Cross Arena.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's very, very
cool. I'm actually thinking, okay, this is in terms of the sun. I would take my dad to Water Zoom at the JCC, and it was the time of night when you would drive when the sun was out. Just thinking of that. Him to try to, like, can't see. This is probably a lot worse.
Right, yeah.
But why should we be, this is like a question somebody asked who's a non-science person, non-astronomy person. Why should we be interested in this?
Sure. So one thing that we're lucky about here in Rochester is we are located in what's called the Path of Totality, which is where the sun will be, like, fully eclipsed, so to speak. So it won't be a partial eclipse. We're, like, in the hot seat.
That sounds like one of those Marvel comic
titles. But even better,
the Path of Totality.
Because you get to live it yourself in real life, right? So Buffalo, Cleveland, going down to Texas, up into the Adirondacks.
Wow.
But, like, New York City won't have it. Boston won't have it. So people from there are coming here, actually.
Huh.
They're anticipating 300,000 to 500,000 visitors coming to the Rochester area for the eclipse.
Wow.
So let that sit in for a minute. That's a lot of people with a lot of colanders looking at the ground.
So if we go to bars, we have to order, what, a light beer first, then a dark beer, then a black and tan? How do we...
So some of the local breweries have gotten in on it as well, and they made a suite of beers.
Rohrbach
has done one, I believe, Three Heads and Strange Bird, I think.
Oh, yeah, they got three different kinds.
So if you have them all together, there's the light side, there's the total eclipse, and then there's the dark side. So if you put all those cans next to each other, it's like the graphics are really cool on them.
Yeah. I happened to be...
I took a picture of those. I got those.
Yeah.
I was in Wegmans yesterday morning, and I saw the one, I think, was Three Heads, the dark one.
Okay.
You know what would be really cool, though? It would be like the Doctor Who cup I once got from XXI for donating. If they had one where you drink it and it starts, like,
eclipses while you're drinking,
that would be kind of interesting. But it's amazing how, like, this is going to have this. I'm always for, like, anything that brings money to Rochester. It's just going to have a great business impact.
Right.
The only thing I would say is watch out driving that day, maybe a little bit, or take some extra time.
Yeah, so let's talk about the driving. So if you have a kid that is school age, you will know that almost every district has given that day off. And part of it is because when the eclipse is happening in Rochester is normally the time all the kids would be on the buses. And they were like, we just can't have that added traffic. We're going to need the buses to be moving people around. So that is part of why they lobbied the New York State Education to be like, hey, we need the kids not to be trying to, like, leave school. We need this not to be happening.
I've seen one of those. I've been a meme going around. I think Doug Rice put it up. Some other people on Facebook. Do you take it off for the eclipse?
Yeah, for sure. No, they have a hashtag. I think it's like something till Tuesday. I forget what the whole thing. But basically it's like, don't even try to leave Rochester on Monday. Like, wait until Tuesday to leave, or you're just going to sit in gridlock anyway. And that's no fun for anybody.
And because all the kids on the bus would be brainwashed by some mysterious alien force when the sun goes back.
Okay, so we'll hope that wouldn't happen. But then we've avoided it, right? We lobbied and avoided it. So
a narrow
miss.
I keep thinking of David.
We got to protect those kids.
That's right. Gosh darn it.
Watch Dan the Triffids, like, on the weekend or something. Well, maybe don't if you're going to experience
it. No, wait, I thought that movie was about plants.
Come down, though, like it's almost like an eclipse, but there's an eclipse, and it comes down in little...
Okay. I have that movie. I'm going to have to watch it.
Wait, which movie?
Dan the Triffids.
It's like a cheapo B-50s.
Wow.
John Wyndham. a science fiction author from Britain. He's written, like, the Midwich Cuckoos and those and some of the... You learn everything on this show.
I do, too. I know nothing about
him. I was actually going to ask you, and I remember in, well, my lifetime, yours too, obviously, everybody here, we're all in our 30s by now.
Yep, something like that.
There was some kind of... Now, this is... Just to try to be more specific, this is, like, hasn't happened since, what, like, 1925?
That's correct.
I can't believe I got something right on this show.
No, you did.
But there was something that's happened in our lifetime. I don't know if it was a lunar. What's, like, the difference between other eclipses? We had something before, because I remember watching it on TV.
There was something when I was a kid, because I remember going out with the pinhole camera that apparently I can't remember anything about. And using that.
That's okay. Look it up, kids, on your Google.
There you go. Yeah, really.
Well, maybe isn't one the sun in front of the moon, and the other one the moon in front of the sun, or something like that?
Is it? Well, if the sun was in front of the moon, how would you tell? Because wouldn't it be lights?
You'd be blinded, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Or maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know.
So. We should have gotten a scientist on here, I think. Yeah. An astronomer.
We're musicians, we know everything.
Yeah.
No, that we should. But that's interesting to me, because I know there was a different phenomenon. This is a really special one, because it pops up how many times? Like, it was like 1925 was the last time.
Right, and I think it doesn't happen here again until 2144, when we'll all be worm food, probably.
Reason to hang on for a little while longer. It's like, I can't leave before I see the eclipse. It's like George Burns booking a date in Vegas to dance on his 100th birthday. You got to make it.
So Rochester will be an actual vibrant city for a couple of days and then back to being a ghost town.
Well, there are lots. Like you were telling me about, you had something on Eclipse Day.
I did?
You were just talking to me about it. Weren't you playing or something? Did you say, like, you have something going on?
Was it April 8th or something?
Yeah.
Definitely April 8th.
You just talked to me about there's like a private party or something for it.
Oh, it's a guy's birthday party. Yeah, somebody's throwing a birthday party in Webster, and it's at the Holiday Inn there by the park. If you're going down 104 towards Wayne County, North Ponds Park, I think is that the name of it? I don't know. Anyway, there's a Holiday Inn there, and that's where it's going to be. So any crashers want to come to a free party, hey, stop down.
Oh, he'll like that. But there is so much going on. I mean, you're going to probably have to pick, you know, cherry pick, or just because I don't think you can make everything.
No, there's stuff. The Mora Art Gallery has stuff on the Eclipse Day. The Science Museum, like I said, they have a three-day festival that includes a country musician whose name I'm blanking on. It was just announced. Tennessee Country Museum has. So it's kind of more like what's your flavor, right? You can go to a farm. You can watch the eclipse with goats and do goat yoga. You can, like, there's just anything that people could imagine.
Home Record Archive, Homesteads for Hope, libraries.
Yeah.
That's just amazing, though. So. It's going to be quite the parade. It's going to be like our Mardi Gras or something.
Maybe.
But you have a lot of connecting products and things for this.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I do have some. And we can talk about that in a minute. But let me just take a second to talk about, like, during the totality, right? So when the eclipse.
We always go around in tangents to come back to our point.
All
on
right.
The show.
Well, that's okay.
Go on.
Just before we go down that tangent, let's have fun with this tangent.
Yes.
All right, so for the honor of the guy that's doing the party here, and can remember what was happening, here's what's going to happen during your party. So it's going to be a dusk look in the sky, and the temperature you're going to feel, it's going to fall. It's going to get cold.
Degrees,
so,
okay.
Yep, 10 degrees, so bring your sweatshirt, bring your sweater. The animals and plants may behave as if it's nighttime, and that's another place that's doing stuff, too, is the Seneca Park Zoo.
So the animals will
like,
be able to talk to the plants.
Yep, so you'll hear the animals start to, like, all the nighttime noises and stuff, right?
Right, because they'll sense something's going
on. Yes. And people who've experienced it say that it feels like an eerie stillness, like there's nothing else like it. This will be, like, your time to feel this once-in-a-lifetime thing. And even if it's cloudy, because people are like, you know, Rochester, it's going to be cloudy. We're going to experience it. You're still going to feel that temperature. You're still going to hear the animals. It'll still get dark. It'll be like all of a sudden it'll be like night. So anyway, I just wanted to get a few of those little tidbits out there.
Neat,
that, like,
I never even thought of all that stuff.
Right. Huh.
No, it reminds me, there was one for science class in grade school. See, I still remember this. We had some assignment for the night sky. And we couldn't because good old Rochester was cloudy and you couldn't see anything. But that's how I'll go off a little bit before you talk about that. The idea of the eclipse sort of like is an omen in literature. It's all around. Like I've been thinking of a Connecticut Lit Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
So tell us about that.
So that's when the guy time travels. It's a Mark Twain novel, and he travels back in time, and he's at King Arthur's court. And the thing is, they're gonna do something with him, imprison him, or execute him. But he remembers. I would have been chopped liver, basically.
Is that the same movie that Bing Crosby was in?
Yep. I read the book, though. I never seen the
movie. Wow, that doesn't
seem like... But what happens, he realizes, in that day and time, there's an eclipse. So he says, I can make the sun go out.
Oh, right.
And then he's like, he's a wizard. He's a wizard.
Oh, he's a witch. Burn him.
Luckily, that's not what happened.
No, they didn't go that way. And I'm thinking, I don't remember Julius Caesar, at least in the play, if they had, like, it was a falling star and eclipse that day. And there was always known as, like, sort of an omen and a portent. And you got to think about it. Like, ancient times, you're wondering... I mean, there were, like, some people, some of the gods they prayed to bring the sun up or whatever. It was like Apollo on a bender or something.
I think about that stuff a lot, like, back to back.
Apollo on a bender?
No. Well, sometimes. I think about many things on a bender that usually have nothing to do with anything. But, when mankind was first crawling around, you know, the first time it got dark, the first time it snowed, all these things, storms, you gotta wonder what the hell they were thinking. You know, like, oh my God, they were like, we were like slaves to the environment.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's interesting how science, I mean, I'm on a little tangent here, but I always felt like...
Why are you apologizing when you do every show?
Well, when you think about how we've asked questions and solved all these riddles and, you know, medicine and meteorology and... building machinery. I mean, it's almost like, to me, it seems like almost a planned evolution of the human thing. I don't know. Maybe that's too deep, but...
Well, have you ever heard the Earth...
I mean, we could have stayed in the Dark Ages forever. So for some reason, stuff started to change.
Well, we'll be in the Dark Ages on the 8th for a little
while. Well, yes, we will.
We will. But, so what do you think is going to happen next? What are we going to evolve into?
I don't know.
What does science tell you?
Flying cars and drones. I don't know.
They've lied to us for a long time. Mm-hmm. Remember the quote from Arthur C. Clarke that anything, like if any civilization would consider, the more advanced, other like ancient civilizations would consider it to be magic, which is just paraphrasing from Arthur C. Clarke. And I can't remember the exact quote. And you can imagine back then, like if you read the Fraser's The Golden Bough about the history of magic and civilization, a lot of times they would take their leaders, and if the leader even had like a toothache, they'd sacrifice him because they were afraid, you know, he had to be perfect because they didn't know, like, if it was connected to him, like the Fisher King or something, if it was going to go on. Mm-hmm. And the ways those are not, I mean, can't say they were dumb though, because you look like Archimedes, you know, we're doing 500 things, playing with his phone during the show.
What? Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't apologize. Are you kidding? Why are you so serious?
That makes me feel like another thing, too, is like, I always joke with people about this. It's like, well, back when we were kids, so it's like, if you were a kid and you couldn't stay focused, the teachers would always tell your parents, well, he's distracted, there's something wrong with him. And it's like, multitask, it's okay, do five things at once. So I just think it's interesting, like, what once was an aberration is now like, okay, go for it.
But you mean, it's you go normal. Back, they were trying, like, the Greek philosophers, they were trying to figure things out. But, like, Archimedes, like, we're doing 40 things at once. He would have 30 years just, like, looking at the sky, looking at this, and like, okay, I want to try to put this together. So it wasn't like they were stupid or anything, they were a lot less distracted.
Right. Well, I know I fall victim to the whole thing because I got to answer this text. Oh, I got to, you know, it's like a constant thing. It's like, it's almost like an obsession, which makes me mad that I'm kind of buying into it.
Well, Kyle Vox said it to me one day where he's like, I found out I had to put my phone away because I was checking for messages every half an hour.
Right. Yeah. So think about how that would affect how we are developing and evolving. Right.
Right.
So if you think of like Thomas Edison and all the testing he did and stuff. And
right.
And now, like, what if you're being that, you know what I mean? But on the flip side, you can connect with people all over the world that may be doing similar things. So I feel like it's like these pluses and these minuses, but definitely fundamentally changing.
I've always used the analogy from Super Friends at the 70s. There's an episode.
Here we go.
Missy's not here. I guess she would understand me, like, what's some of this. Like, I was going to say, like, this might be an omen. There'll be another season of Legends of Tomorrow, you know, maybe. But there's Super Friends. They has an episode. There was a monolith, and the villains are trying to get it, right? Because it's evil. They find out at the end, no, it's not evil. It's whomever controls it. And I think that's a lot about, like, social media technology and everything.
Was he dumb as a rock, or
what? Oh, you are going overboard. You are really going overboard.
Come on, man. I'm 40 funny. Come on.
So that's, but this is, in terms of, okay, go on. Now you can talk about your art or whatever, all your marketing things.
Oh, yeah. I know you keep trying to talk about that. And then you talk about other things to make me think
you're
of other
things. You're welcome to the podcast.
Hello, random news.
So when you were talking about all the things that have cited the eclipse in, like, pop culture, another place that that has happened is Little Shop of Horrors. So it's an eclipse that, you know, the alien plant comes down, and that's kind of what triggers what unfolds for that entire story. And it's like one line at the beginning. In fact, where I work there, that's why they chose that play that the upper school is working on right now. They're going to be performing it soon. And I hadn't remembered that either, but...
No, but that's like, okay, this is in the music. This wasn't from the Corman movie, though, was it? This is from the musical.
So that I don't know, because I only kind of know the musical part.
In the one in the movie, this sees Seymour's growing it, and he names it Audrey, because he has a crush on Audrey, so he names it Audrey Jr. And so I didn't realize, because I saw the movie with Elaine Green years ago, and I don't remember it. So you have to look for some of this stuff because you don't even see it, where it's like one little sign there or whatever.
Do you know if there's going to be any, you know, title things or nature things that are going to be affected? Because I'm just asking. I don't know.
So I don't know about the title stuff, and I definitely gave you, like, that sort of overview of the nature side of it a little bit.
But
there is, I can't remember what it's called, but they're also, just specifically for the eclipse, there is, and I think it's national, I don't know if it's international or not, and it's like citizen scientist stuff, and people are actually going to be, like, paying attention to the sounds and the lack of sounds and stuff, and they're going to be putting it all into this big database
to
like, track what's happening. And I think it's called, like, Eclipse Soundscapes, maybe, or... Yeah. But, that's something you can look up and
there was a hush all over the world.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about... I was actually going to message a friend in Spain. And I wonder, like, what's the... Like, how... besides us, the world's reaction to this. Is it a big thing for them? Are they taking it as the way we are?
So where it happens, it's pretty much always a big deal. But it happens in different places in the world, different times, right? So, like... down, you know what I mean? I don't know kind of the other, like I said, my work has been so Rochester focused, I guess, kind
of. It should be.
That I know a lot about what's going on around here and a little less about what's going on in other places.
Trying to find out, because I actually was texting my friend Caitlin in Oregon. I asked her about, like, what she thought of it, but she was like, well, I'm just waiting for spring right now. Because she, like, left here because of the weather and everything else. Actually, we've been lucky with that, too. So, but now you can talk about your marketing if you want.
Better in Oregon? I would think it'd be colder or cloudier.
It's actually a little 51-ish or whatever, you know, compared to here.
Okay.
So kind of equivalent to this winter, at least, which is
true.
A little scary in some ways.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. All right, so... because I was on the task force and I was seeing all the cool things that people were doing and planning and, like, all that energy, it just kind of got me inspired to create some eclipse artwork and especially some, like, Rochester-centric stuff. And my background is in fine arts. I do a lot of oil painting. I have done a lot of printmaking in the past. So it was interesting to kind of translate that into some digital work. And it's interesting, too, probably the, like, most popular style, because I decided I would do a bunch of different styles. And is this one that is this, like, very epic, heroic, like, movie poster-esque kind of thing. And, you know, the eclipse sun is, it's the one that's in the photo, but it's, you know, this big thing kind of looming over Rochester. And you could picture. Superheroes running out.
I was actually
picture,
thinking
you know
what Greg
I mean?
Would think of that. The coming of Galactus.
Yes. Looming in space.
That's a good question, though. What do you think in terms of being an artist about all the AI stuff?
So, actually, I'm really glad you asked that. So one of the things that this started as was me experimenting with AI because I hadn't done a ton of art creation with it. And now I would definitely say it is a tool in my tool belt that I would use if I'm doing digital work. It's not the only thing that I would use to produce a piece of digital work. And I use Adobe Firefly so that, like, the styles in that, the artists in that have... they have given their okay to, you know what I mean? I'm not, like, ripping stuff off out of whatever, off the internet. But I've also created some of my own custom styles. So it's like if you use Photoshop and you're making custom brushes and stuff, and there's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of, like, what works, what won't work. And like I said, there's a lot of post-manipulation, if you will. But it's been a very interesting journey to, like, use that.
I'm giggling a little because one of my friends
I know. What are you giggling away
a professor. She's having all these students doing, they're handing in AI papers.
Yeah.
But one of them plagiarized her own book.
Ah, that's, yeah. So, that, I mean, that's a big thing in education. So that's, to me, that's a little different than, like, you know, art being created. But for sure, schools, that's something that they have to think about a lot. You know, what are the ethics? How are they going to teach their student? Obviously, it's here. So it's more like, how do you teach people to use that as a tool that can help you?
It's a good way to look at things, too, because we can look at what we hope for, but we have to live in reality, and whatever's presented, once you get, like, open Pandora's box, for good or evil.
You know, I tried a thing last week or a couple weeks ago. I was doing a Facebook post on a gig, you know, so-and-so we're playing, and then it said, write with AI? It asked me a question. I said, well, sure, what the hell? So I hit yes, and it just came up with some flowery language, and it just... wrote a whole little press thing, you know, and it was kind of cool, actually, and it sounded good, it looked good, so I went with it. I mean, I think that's a useful thing in case you're stuck for something to say or, you know, there's lots of ways you can use it, but of course, I'm sure people are going to use it for unscrupulous, crappy ways.
Right. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ways that I think going into the election cycle, which I hate to even say those words.
Right.
But nonetheless, I think that, you know, people should definitely be aware that that is going to be a prominent piece of what's happening and to just really understand how to vet your sources, how to understand what you're seeing, not take it at face value. I saw
something. The president called me the other day. And I told him to go to hell.
What did you see?
Oh, just, it was, you know, it's like a meme of something, but, like, the facts were all wrong, right? So you've got, like I said, you've got to go back and be your own advocate for the truth. If something seems a little fishy, if something seems too good to be true, something just seems weird, like, just understand that, you know, you've got to actually go find the facts still
yourself. Yes, I've actually heard this. This is one time when I was actually getting gas. Somebody thought that coronavirus, that the beer had something to do with it.
It's
called being drunk.
Actually, the worst part is I was making a joke about it when this started back in 2020. Then I actually heard somebody, I'm just going, which way is this guy driving? I don't want to go, because he's got the pickup truck.
I'm always interested in motivations. I mean, why people feel the need to pull things like that off. I mean, what drives them to be sociopaths or whatever? Yeah, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Just to cause disruption? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes you can, so why not, right? Like, think how easy it was for you to just click that button.
Right.
So then imagine you're 12 years old, you're with all your buddies, and click that button, and let's see what happens,
there
right?
There you go. You're very
cool.
Right. Very
gets
true.
Gets a lot of reactions out of those dumb grown-ups.
So it's one more thing we have to teach as part of, instead of, you know, brush your teeth, say your prayers, and learn how to use AI.
You know what I'm going to do in the next couple of weeks before the eclipse, and it's April 8th again, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find, like, the funniest offbeat whatever, like, one of them it'll be a conspiracy by one of the candidates, or they're doing this to cover things up while they put chips in you or something, or I'm going to try to find the funniest ones that are
the wackiest,
what they're telling you not to stare at it because it will give you ultimate knowledge or something.
There you go.
I don't even want to say that. I think our listeners are fairly intelligent. I don't know.
Let me reiterate again then. Make sure you either use a colander so you're looking at the shadow on the ground or have eclipse glasses that are, like, certified that they'll protect you.
I keep saying that. I never thought, but seriously, it's 2024. You never know. And I actually had my own weird moment yesterday at the library where I was talking to the librarian. She's asking me, you know, how I knew Grace. And it's like, I can't get this out of my head. What if your dog stares at it? I think they have different vision.
I have read somewhere that, like, your pets, they'll be... They're smarter than us, right? They won't do it.
We're going to see some people worried with the dogs with glasses on. Just watch. Another thing you could do if you even think about looking is watch the Star Trek episode, Operation Annihilate, with the killer pancakes. They get Spock. Yeah. And they have to like get it out of him, so they have to expose him to bright light and he goes blind. But because he's a Vulcan, he has an extra shield on his eyelid, so it's like, like we don't have that.
We do not.
But I do wonder, but I think that's the problem. It's like we're like in sort of, we could be in a utopia, but we're sort of in a dystopia because all this information is just out there. But you don't know what's right, what's not, because there's just so much of it.
So it's important to know how to research information. So librarians, shout out librarians, are great at helping you with things like that. So the professionals can help teach you. They can help train you.
Try to read, too. I've been getting way back into reading, and it really helps.
I think we should do a mashup of pop tunes, like Total Eclipse of the Heart, Here Comes the Sun. Let's see, what else can we come up with?
Okay, Beth, do you have any like songs you could think of like for the eclipse?
Wow, I don't know. Yeah, Total Eclipse of the Heart, which is a song
I'm going to call this
really
Total Eclipse of the Carnival, sorry.
Yeah. But that was like, that's the first one that popped. But there are Dark Side
of the Moon.
Yep, I thought about that earlier when you were saying something here. Just for fun, I'm going to do that horrible thing. I'm going to get on my phone. So you guys talk for a minute.
Hey, Greg, how was your St. Patrick's Day?
Happy St. Patrick's Day. So, hey, I feel good for the people that did the parade. They finally got a break with the weather. I feel bad for those cheerleaders because they're always wearing those, you know.
Well, when I worked at the corner.
Short
space. All right, here we go. All right. Get your Spotify ready, folks. We got Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Playlist.
Black Hole Sun. Here Comes the Sun. Eclipse. Bad Moon Rising. Blinded by the Light. Fly Me to the Moon.
Like that, Blinded.
Moon Dance. The Killing Moon. A Sky Full of Stars. Good Morning Moon. Dark Side of the Moon. No Sunlight. Ring of Fire. Little Johnny Cash. Dancing in the Dark, I Can See Clearly Now, Why Does the Sun Shine, Back to Black, little Amy Winehouse, Black Sun, Dark Star. So that should get you started.
Wow.
Rob's showing his appreciation for some of the songs.
Good job.
Making a face.
I think that's hilarious. That's great.
That's what Michaelis said to me because I did a top 10. I put the Grateful Dead in this. I was having a talk with Jeremy Grace, my good friend who's Adriana's guitarist, because he said there's Grateful Dead, then there's all other bands like Jeremy. And Michaela said, if you switch Fish for Grateful Dead. But I always say, you like what you like, okay? And I don't hate them as much as I do, but I just make it now. I do because it ticks my friends off.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Which one in particular had you making that face and sticking
Grateful
your tongue
Dead.
Out? The Grateful Dead? Yeah.
I love Amy Winehouse and everything. She's awesome. But what do you have? I've seen some of your pictures. You have like mugs and all these other bits of merchandise.
That is true.
Yeah. Where can we get these?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Neo Palette Art on Facebook. You can type in Neo Palette Art on Etsy, and there's all kinds of cool stuff out there. Thanks for giving me a plug.
But that's what you're here for.
I know.
And what do we have?
So much other stuff to talk about.
You have the posters.
Though.
Well, go on. What do you want to talk about next?
Oh, geez.
It's your time.
I don't know. What else do you want to know besides Eclipse playlist? Jeez, that was pretty good.
Well, what do you normally do in your job stuff? I mean, are you a publicist? Or are you
I handle marketing and publicity and all that kind of good stuff.
For?
I work at the Harley School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know who's a good friend of mine? I don't know if you knew her. Lisa Wright? She was like the head honcho over there.
Hmm.
Or was that at Allendale? Might have been at Allendale.
Right.
Sorry,
could have been before my time too.
Yeah. So, as we were talking about that earlier, I started thinking this is kind of an offshoot. But do you have any?
This whole show is an offshoot.
I realize what this is now.
We call it ADD, or you know, no. But do you have any advice for bands? For their self promotion, like what's the best way to go about it? What's the worst way to go about it? What do potential clubs and people that you know is there a good way and a bad way, or what don't they want to see in here, stuff like that?
So,
any ideas?
So it's hard to say without knowing, like, the band and who their audience is.
Well, just in general.
Like, so, but in general, I mean, I think, like, when I think about my kids who are, you know, high school, college age, part of what they like is when they are able to get, like, that really intimate connection, that behind the scenes where somebody, like, peels it back. Like, maybe they'll sit down and they'll be like, I think I'm going to try to write a song about blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm doing a little work on it. I don't like it. Here's why I don't like it. I'm going to try something. And like I said, just kind of removing some of that mystery and bringing everybody into the story.
Right.
So that by the time they're, like, done with the song, or then they're, you know, out performing the song, there are all these people that have bought in to the intimacy of the creation of the artistic piece.
Okay.
And I feel like that's something that's interesting to anybody, whether you like the Grateful Dead or not, right? Like, but knowing, like, how did that song come to be?
Right.
What were they thinking about? How did they make it? And, you know, just you can just do it in, like, these little clips. But I think that that idea of building that personal connection is something that you can't go wrong with.
How about when you're looking for gigs? I guess I was thinking about that. Like, what are these guys looking for? Are they looking for an electronic press kit? Are they looking for pictures? Are they looking for a playlist? What do you think's the most efficient way to do that? Because, I mean, I'm just asking because bands practice, and they,
right,
they get the songs, but then they don't know how to get it out there.
Right. So, again, I would do that sort of like that little drip kind of thing, whether it's from the songwriting, whether it's the practicing along the way, you know, get some of that and decide where you're going to put it, if you're going to go on a platform, if you're going to have YouTube, if you're going to be on Instagram, if you're going to be on TikTok, like whatever platform mix you're going to use.
Right.
But then you want to be pretty steady with what you're doing.
Get people
on there
interested.
And
yep.
Right. Like I said, get people interested in you. So it used to be like everything was that much smaller, right? You were like a local band. You played out. People knew who you were. The promoters locally knew who you were. And you were able to
went to the bar,
like,
handed them a CD or something.
And you were able to just kind of, you know, build your like gig base, right? But now it's like really, it's different. There's so many more people that are able to be reaching out from, like, so many different places.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know sometimes a lot of the club owners are like, well, I don't have time, so they just go on Instagram or something, and, you know, they listen to 20 seconds of your song.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't like that kind of music. Oh, I like that kind of music. I mean, I guess that's the thing. You just got to get your stuff out there on the different platforms and say, hey, this is what we're about, right? Is that what you're
right.
kind of saying?
Yeah, for sure.
This, like, is who we are, and not just that we want to play at your place, but why do we want
right,
to play it?
Right.
Play? Why should I have you here?
Right. Yeah. And that gives the promoter more to, like, latch on to,
right.
too. Right? Like,
right.
you know, I'm whatever, Joe Schmo, and, like, I'm really into the Eclipse. And I got excited, and I wrote a couple of songs about it. And, you know, it's in this kind of style. And you know, you can, here's the links to a couple of clips, and you can follow me on whatever
tie
your choice.
And make it relevant.
You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
Like, for sure. Give a story. Like, even just pitching regular news has changed too.
Yeah, that's a lot like any kind of film or whatever is like you have to have the you have to be interested in the characters. Like the characters have to have depth. They can't just be, you know, cardboard. You know, it's like I want to know what happens to these people. I want to know their drama. You know, all that kind of stuff. I want to watch these girls cat fight.
Oh boy!
Now back to the clips. I'm wondering actually. Now we've seen the beers. I'm wondering if restaurants are going to have, like, some kind of Eclipse thing on their menu for the day.
So definitely some will. There's, I mean, I know there's, you know, just speaking of beverages, right, there's, I'm blanking on which one, but there's, like, you know, some specialty coffees that have been made. There's wines that have been made. There are definitely some places that are doing, like, you can go and have a meal experience or a, you know what I mean, along with it. So for sure, just like,
that's kind of
do
cool.
a little, just do I'm a little
dark. I usually go to Neutral Grounds. A lot of times I'll walk around the village afterwards and I'm going to go walk in because we'll be doing this the day before on the 7th. And I'm going to see if they have any, like, sort of a dark side of the coffee.
I think they do have a roast that they made, if I remember correctly. Yeah, you should definitely.
They do some cool ones.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
They do.
Mashed potatoes only half covered with gravy.
There you go.
I don't know.
You could do that at home. You
could
just invite people over and be like, watch this.
You
could
do so many dark coffees and stuff. Now, this is about marketing, too, because there's so much out there. And we know one of the things I've heard from a lot of friends for events, I'll mention, oh, did you... You didn't see that? What they'll say to me is, I would have gone, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get attention for this. And yeah, I think in a way, because it's not like your ordinary event, it's going to have some quick interest.
Right.
But how do you keep and hold people's attention where, like, now you're advertising it, it'll be the day, and they'll go, wait a second, why is it dark? Did I forget something?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of places, and again, the backside of this is to keep people off the roads so that we don't just have, like, a horrible traffic jam. So a lot of places that are planning things that will take you past the end of the eclipse time. Maybe they'll go till 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock to, again, try to stagger the traffic. So, like, the public market is having, they're having a bunch of stuff there. It's free. There's, you know, going to be vendors and lots of food and stuff for the kids. And, well, maybe you should go there.
So, well, I'm not driving anywhere.
What is the time frame? Because I don't even know.
Yeah, you read my mind. I was just going to ask it. Oh. I think, isn't the eclipse like about 3.5? It's like the whole event's like 20, 30 minutes, I think.
Oh, really? That long?
Let me give you the accurate numbers. Talk amongst yourselves for 1 second so I can get the numbers.
We actually have a professional on.
we'll be right back after this.
I'm trying so hard to give you the good data here. Okay, here we go. 3:20 p.m.
Uh-huh.
is going to be the main totality moment. But leading up to that, you know, it takes a little while for that to happen, and right. then it'll start to go the other way. So the experience itself will be longer than that.
The sky is darkened.
It's true, though. It's totally true. You know, because I have my phone, like this bad person that just told these guys to stay off their phones, right? I'm just noticing, to give you a sense of, like, Rochester getting all this coverage. There's these stories, right? Solar eclipse path 2024, Rochester, New York, preps for an invasion.
Oh, well, and that sounds,
like,
good.
It's true, though. Like, just don't, you know, there's another one. Totally awesome eclipse stops to visit in Rochester, and now I'm going to cough.
An invasion. I love it.
These guys are not giving me any water here, by the way.
That's okay. You're fine. We can edit that out.
You can edit that out. There's a lot to edit out. Oh, man. I meant to bring my own water, actually.
You have that whatever the prof.
you want some harp?
all right. So the eclipse will start 2:07. And it'll, by the time it ends the other way, it's at 4:33, and the totality comes in around 3:20, like I was saying.
Okay. So. Well, that's good to know, because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
It's like the day the Earth stood still, right?
Something. But now, in terms, like, I know you've done films, you do art. What was, like, sort of, like, your inspiration for art? Do you have anybody you sort of are inspired by, or did you just sort of come up with?
I mean, when I was in high school, I loved the portraiture by John Singer Sargent, and I thought, wow, if I can get good enough to paint people that are like anything like what he's able to do, you know, that'll be something. But I also loved Salvador Dali, so go figure. You know, those were So in high school, it was like two kind of extreme things that were inspiring me.
Did you see Spellbound, the old movie Spellbound? It had the Salvador Dali sequence.
Mm-mm.
It's a movie about a guy who can't remember. It's like and he falls for the psychoanalyst, and there's a dream sequence, and it's all Salvador Dali where he's skiing, and it's like all, you know, weird Salvador Dali-esque, you know, with weird angles and trippy melting stuff, and it's very cool. If you like it, check it out sometime.
There's a short film, an animated film that was done actually with Disney Studios with Dolly, and I'm blanking on the name. That's another one of those when you like see it now, you're like, this is just like such a trippy time capsule kind of. You know, even the style of the animation.
I just love his stuff with the, you know, the melting clock and all that. It's cool stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I'm finding though too. Like sometimes, like I've been on a 1960s British kick for films like The Knack and all those. Something now is becoming more like a time capsule. Like I'll watch, like when I watch Tommy, and the movie's not great, but you see the Who and all these musicians young.
Yeah.
And you see like Swing in London and everything. It's just, and that's why like a lot of the old silent movies, you see New York and all these places.
So I have a weird tie-in. The other day, I was watching a Boris Karloff movie. You have a bunch of Boris Karloff movies. And one's called Before I Die, or Doomed to Die, and Before I Hang. And there's all these where he's misaccused of stuff and goes to prison and gets reanimated and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, in the lab scenes, they show these meters, you know, or a gauge. And it's like some weird heart pumping thing. And the gauge clearly says Taylor Instruments, Rochester, New York. And I watched another movie that's an old 50s movie where this guy is trying to, he wants, this old lady wants to be put in young bodies, so he, this guy gets all these, it's a crazy plot. But this one girl gets nervous and she goes to the phone that's in the hall, and as she's making the call, when they show the phone, it says Strongberg Carlson at the bottom, Rochester, New York. So I think that's kind of cool. Like, back in the day, we were somebody.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of Hollywood ties in because of the film.
Question and, about Eclipse Day, because I'm thinking about the trip. Now, please, go to the events. Have a good time. Now, you want to go a little early?
Yeah. So, yes. And, again, most of them start early and stay late. Like, they've been planned to be that kind of an event. Another thing that Deb said that I think is worth bearing in mind is to think a little bit ahead about what do you want your eclipse experience to be. Like, do you want it to be somewhere where there are a bunch of people and it's kind of like a party? Do you want it to be you in your backyard with a couple friends? Do you want it to be you and your loved ones? Do you want it to be you alone? Like, make that choice for yourself, too, because it's only going to happen once for you. So, like, how it's a memory that you'll have, right? You'll always have this memory. So when you think back, like, what's going to make it the most meaningful to you?
I threw up and I missed it. You know.
Yeah, no, don't let that be the memory. No.
I'm
stop
thinking,
right
you
there.
You know, I'm thinking about Ray Bradbury's story, The Long Rain, which is it's on another planet where it rains all the time. And it's about bullying. And it's going to be a day where the sun comes out. So these jerks get the one kid they're picking on. They lock him in a closet or something. And he misses the only day in his lifetime that's going to be sun out.
Hmm. It's so sad.
I've heard some weird stuff, man. X-1, those old radio sci-fi things. It was one about the future where they, I don't know, there's this family, they're in their house, and they have to go, they have blankets. I don't know. It's a very strange, because it's radio, you know. But, okay, son, go out and get a bucket of air. I believe it's Asimov, or one of those big writers. And go out and get a bucket of air. And it's just a weird premise where, you know, everything's gone to hell. And you know, their concept of the future in the late 50s was very interesting, of what could happen and all that stuff.
But actually, speaking, I want to go around again to the Eclipse and the RPO event.
So is that like, shut up, Greg? Okay.
No, it's not. It's just but
he just wants to go around again while you're talking.
But the Eclipse event, in terms of the RPO, and I've been reading about it. You can read about it online. It'll be a lot of fun. Blue Cross. But they did the planets earlier this year.
They did.
And it sold out. It was like, actually, I love, because I support the RPA so much. I feel sorry for some of the people who went, but they didn't get tickets, and they were sold out. Mm. But I was like, oh, it's sold out. That's awesome, you know. But they had these screens up. They put them in. It was really, really cool. And actually, my favorite one, everybody likes Mars. It sounds, now, go listen to Star Wars and Darth Vader's theme, and it's Mars, basically. But I like Uranus the Magician, because it's almost like a Pixies song in classic, where it would start, like, hard, then go soft, then go hard. So this should be a really cool event at Blue Cross.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I actually have to find out the time for that. I'll look it up for next week, because I figure they want you to go see the eclipse first.
It's not on the same day. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't know. I told Grace that I would advertise. I didn't tell her. I'd tell you what day it was. So, you know, we like you to learn for yourself on this show.
There you go.
As you can see, this is not like a set format and we go all over the place. That's the one thing I just wanted to talk briefly about. That was a lot of fun, like, doing films with you. And I used to love, like, underground filmmaking.
Yeah.
But there is the one scene, and if you ever find Getting Personal, it's worth looking up. Where I'm in a restaurant, you can see the back of my head in a good Hitchcockian way. There's a lemon thing, which is like the lemon toe. And remember that? We filmed like 4 hours. It was tipping as we filmed. That's sort of an allegory for the eclipse. You're waiting for the little lemon dessert to go.
Tip, that's right. And don't eat it too soon, because it's got to last for all the different takes. Yep, don't really eat it. That's true.
But what are your plans? Are you doing with your committee, or what are you doing that day?
I have not decided yet what I'm doing. It's like there's such a wealth of choices, and we keep going back and forth and changing our minds about what we want to do.
You know, that's maybe, yeah, sometimes it's good to have, I think back in the day, maybe even, okay, if you're going to watch TV, you had four, you know, with XXI, four channels, maybe little bunny ears, you get Toronto. These days, sometimes, like, I'll sit there and we're going to watch, like, a movie or something. You know, I can't decide because it's just so much.
That's true.
You know, this is like, but I guess you said it perfectly, I think, where you said, what are you interested in? How do you want to experience this?
Yeah.
You have little goats running around doing yoga with you?
That's right. I think you should definitely go for the goat yoga.
Oh, yeah. There's a great story. Well, I actually was going to do goat yoga, but I had my medical problems and I couldn't. Mm. So one of my friends, she told the story on the show, Heidi. She was teaching it, right? So the day I couldn't go, she's going. And you want a once-in-a-lifetime event? Her car got struck by lightning on the way
there. Oh, jeez.
And I can laugh because she's fine, but can you imagine where it hit the top? And she said, I have to cancel class. Why? My car got struck by lightning.
Wow. Wow. She's lucky.
Man, she's lucky. That's crazy.
I was actually thinking, do you happen to know, is the planetarium doing anything? Like,
So the whole science museum, that whole complex, the planetarium, they're doing a three-day festival that starts on Friday and then Saturday and then... Or no, I'm sorry. Wait, it's on Monday, so it would be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday that they're doing stuff.
I actually put somebody. I announced a concert date on Eclipse Day by mistake out here. She's like, she talked to Hillary Olson about this.
Yeah, for sure.
She's doing. For sure. She's like best handler of cockroaches in the world I've seen too.
Yeah, well, she has. So they have a staff member, Dan Schneiderman, who's worked very closely with Deb. They're kind of the two people in Rochester that have been leading the charge, if you will. And bringing all the rest of us along.
I appreciate anything that could be good for this city, you know? That's the thing, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, a lot of people just like to rag on us like around here.
All right, well, then I gotta, as a native Rochesterian, I just got to step in and say, this is a perfect example of, like, Rochester coming together. There are so many people behind the scenes making so many things happen with such enthusiasm that it's, like, crazy. And sometimes I feel like, people, it's easy to complain, but you know what? If you go out and you, like, find your community and find people with passion like you have, like, Rochester is just so full of all
and
kinds of things.
And we try to do our little part.
You know what I mean?
People,
like, yeah.
It's as you say now, though, why we put you in the middle so you can't flee or anything.
There's a lot of let George do it stuff. Like, people just want things to happen, but they don't actually want to do it themselves. They just want to be the benefactors of the stuff, but they don't really want to put it in motion, you know? It's kind of sad, but we all have to do our part to make stuff happen.
I think you get what you put into, and I think a lot of people, they complain about this. And I've lived other places. You complain about this, complain about that. I think that's the type, no matter where you go, you're not going to be happy because it's you in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah. But
I've had musicians say here, they'll go, like, I had a friend who moved to Atlanta, which I think is beautiful, but he goes, Rob, I won't believe it. Like, you know, back in the day, you know, we could go out, if you wanted to, every day of the week and see, okay, what music do you like? Go see this. There's nothing. I can't find anything down here. Hmm. This is Atlanta,
yeah,
too.
That's, wow.
Well, maybe it's more sort of like country or like that. I don't know, but he just said no.
Hmm. Yeah, that's surprising. I mean, just given the size of the city. I don't know. I think people tend to, like, underestimate Rochester and underestimate the passion of the people who live here for so many things. Like, if you think about what you're interested in, chances are pretty good there's other people in Rochester that are, like, just as passionate. You just got to find them, right, and connect. And I mean, that's how I started making movies, right? I found somebody who had made movies that was willing to, like, mentor me, you know what I mean? And then, like, I started to pull things together and all these different people, and it, like, it wouldn't have happened. And we had great, great memories, and we had a lot of people who, like, pulled together to make it happen, and it was fun.
It was a great experience. I still have my CD of Love, actually.
Yeah.
How do you find, I mean, I'm curious, because I don't know, how do you find the funding?
That's the best statement you ever met about your life right there.
What's that?
I'm curious, I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Go on.
Like, how do you find the funding when you're trying to make a film?
Oh, I can tell you stories about this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, remember, like,
you helped.
It's really tough. Yeah, it's really tough. You have to try to find people who enjoy the arts who want to contribute. You had to go, and we had the thing at Laurie's.
Yeah.
Because I do remember. Yeah. I think that was the biggest brownie, which I shouldn't be. It was great. It was a huge brownie, and I picture that. You know, that's the one thing I think, as you touched on, a lot of people have a passion for this, so a lot of places will help out.
Are they expecting a return on the investment, or just doing it to advance the art?
So, I think some of it is both, right? Like, with my marketing hat, I can go into something and look for how would somebody get the exposure back if they're helping us, right? But for other people, I mean, people are inspired by somebody's passion, too. Like, that goes so far. And even if they don't know me, they might know you, and you might be able to call in a favor that I don't. You know what I mean?
And then there's always giving them credit. Thanks to so-and-so.
Right.
And all
oh,
that,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways. And, you know, there's always people that want to get their stories out, too. And that can be helped. You know what I mean?
It's like, a good way to do it. It's kind of indirect marketing for them. Yeah.
No, because I very see, like, good. Say, like, we have it, like, at the Little. You have a reception at the Little. People come, wow, this is a cool place. I've never been here before. I have to go back.
Right, right.
You know, we actually did my really good friends, Ken, Ben, Katie Moore, we just did Nosferatu there, accompanied, sold out.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing well. And I really got to think again, we hate talking about 2020, but a lot of places how we've rebounded, and a lot of places, luckily, just because of the support of loyal people, are still around.
Right, right. And that's a good point. Like, what do you feel strongly about? What do you feel loyal to? Like, go out there, spend your money where you feel, you know what I mean? And spend it on the stuff that's local. Don't, you know what I mean? Like, why not support our fellow Rochesterians and make Rochester a better place?
I always try to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to avoid big boxy stuff. Like, you know, I'd much rather go to a smaller restaurant bar than, you know, TGI Fridays. Even though they might have a deal at Fridays or something, it's just an example. But, you know what I mean, I'd rather go to a small place, because then you go, oh, why are all these places, you know, well, they're going to go out of business if you don't show up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you gotta frequent these places or they go under.
Right, right.
Or whatever happened to such and such. It was such a cool place. Well, you know.
Yeah.
That's actually, there's something I'll remember when Fantasy Records went on a visit. You remember Fantasy Records?
Yep. Berkeley, yep.
But he was saying, I was talking to the owner, and it's packed because obviously they have deals. Because if I had as many customers like now as I would still be in business.
Right, right.
You know, and realizing doing any of this stuff is really tough, and you're putting, you're really putting risk out there for everything else. But it's also cool for me because, like, I know everybody at the local scene.
Yeah,
and I know it's because I'm still involved, like, a lot of, like, supporting local theater and seeing, like, the passion people. But they're not rich. You know, they're doing it because they love it.
Right.
No, it's all so fun. Like, making movies, even, if you're sitting there for one scene for 4 hours, is fun.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. But this sounds like, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
I hope you were happy being on, knowing we're so weird.
No, it's fun. It's a change of pace. And,
yeah, it's cool, man. I learned a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we basically, you know, we started this just to have fun, support local stuff, and it's like, okay, if you tune in, you don't know what we're going to talk about because we don't know what we're going to talk
about. Right, I am picking up on
that. That's painfully obvious.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come back and talk about, just pick a topic and we might talk about it.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I was thinking of, maybe you might know, I doubt it. I'm trying to think, was there an episode of Buffy where they had eclipse?
Oh, yeah, you have the wrong person sitting here. I am.
Oh, oops, sorry.
I have watched them all. No, I have watched them out of loyalty. I'm sure there was. Why would there not be? How could there not be one about
eclipse?
I'm
actually okay.
Right?
You want to hear an admission, though? I think because I felt like I was cheated out of Legends of Tomorrow without another season. But for Buffy, for me, okay, they finished at the right time. I don't want to go in about Josh, which we found out. But at least it was complete, but in a way, I can't really go back. Like, we'll watch Pangs on Thanksgiving, but I can't just go back and, like, watch it for some reason for now. But there'll be a time where I will. And there's a lot of podcasts about it out there, which I found.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Oops, wrong person. Yeah. Got you mixed up.
Yep, nope, I'm trying. I'm trying to hang there with you and Buffy. I am.
You thought you would have learned some more by now on it. But what are some of your last words on the eclipse? It's going to be a really fun day. Just, you know, be cautious a little bit. This city, I will say, sometimes if I find one negative, we're 20 minutes anywhere usually, but some of these drivers is what it is.
Yeah, don't look at it while you're driving. That's a good one.
Yeah, no.
But no, I mean, you think of that. Like, I've been, like, I visit my friend in Philly. You get there, your GPS will go back 40 minutes. I mean, we complain. I admit I complained about traffic here. 20 minutes anywhere, basically. Take a little time. You know, realize you're going to have a fun day. Don't get all excited. Relax. But any closing words on the eclipse?
Mm.
And, okay, once again, reiterate, what, you know, website, your goodies, everything
else. Oh, sure, sure. So you can find me on Facebook at Neo Palette Art, and you can also find my store on Etsy. I hope you'll check it out, because I think there's some cool stuff.
I do, too.
And as far as the eclipse, like I said, I think the biggest thing is, what do you want the experience to be for yourself? And other than that, remember that we are hosting potentially 500,000 people. So, like, be a good neighbor, be a good representative of the greater Rochester area. You know, we're really putting our best foot forward with lots of creative things going on. It's really amazing. You know, some people going to other cities to see the eclipse, they aren't going to have the choices they have here in Rochester. And that, again, is because of a lot of really hard work from a lot of dedicated people behind the scenes working together. I think it's a great example of, you know, how greater Rochester can, like, make something cool happen. And I agree. Try to be off the roads. If you are on the roads, just take your time, put on some music that you like, and, you know,
and
be
please remember,
careful.
Everybody out there, like, you know, that's serving you or anything, they're people. Be nice to them, and they're dealing with thousands of people.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you
no,
know, be patient.
True.
You know what they should do? Somebody, if you're so inclined, and I'm a vegetarian now, but go to Tahoe's, get a plate. You can take the one patty and start putting it over the other, like, at night to relive it. Pretend like the potatoes.
Okay,
stuff.
So now we know what Rob's eclipse experience is going to be, I see.
Many years ago.
I'm thinking of being put in suspended animation until the next one, you know, so I can be there for it.
Yeah.
That's a movie. Now, I don't know how my mind won't, like, put stuff together sometimes, but we usually have a song at the end. We can't do any of those because they pull us off the air. For some reason, podcasts are different than radio, but I just happen to be friends with every musician in the city.
I think it has something to do with licensing issues, because
yes.
I remember I heard a thing on Wham about the bumper music they play on the talk shows, and they had to change the bumper music because they can do it on the podcast, but they can't do it on commercial radio.
So I ad-libbed, and I wanted to think of an eclipse song. So our good friend Adriana Noon, she just finished touring with the Antismeric, which is an awesome tour. And she has her demo tape out, and there's only a couple left. And she'll be playing at the Penthouse in April, a couple more gigs. You want to see her before she's gone out of here, because she's a
Where's that? Girl.
It's on 1 East Avenue. It's really cool.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You go up the thingy, you look really pro. But there's a song we're going to do from her demo. I don't know who produced this, but it sounds good. It's called Borrowed Time. Now, the reason I did my logic is it has nothing to do with the eclipse, but imagine you have borrowed time because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
There you go.
You can only do it for a certain time, so you better use that time to see it.
Yeah.
How did I do that? That was cool.
Yeah. No, I thought you were going to sing for me. I thought you were going to just, like, add
the really
song.
Is, yes.
No, I do not. I do not. I thought between two of you were going to just, like, rap something out for me there.
Well, this has been awesome. So,
okay, we'll do that for the next eclipse.
All right.
Anything else, Dad? This has been really fun.
So. No, thanks for
Well, next week's going to be pretty special. We're going to be broadcasting live from Grant's tomb, so you don't want to miss that one.
Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Oh, Grant, I think.
Help me.
Okay, cut. We're out of your body.
But she got that you don't. You've got more than she's offering. That's more than she could handle. She don't hold the flame to your candle. Oh, what a scandal. Spent all this time stressing, trying to be present without any resentment. Too much potential, too much for you to handle. She could never have the flight to this candle. I offered a way. Bought you time on my borrowed time just to watch you run to another world, and you're waiting where you stand out of your time. All your borrowed time. Thought this would rip to the core. Thought I'd take time to mourn. You weren't who I thought you were. Too much potential, too much for you to handle. She couldn't ever hold a flame to his candle. And I offered a way. And I bought you time on my borrowed time just to watch you run to another world.